Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Tickets are gone. Stop calling. Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach, coming off a big victory. They beat Cal Poly on a sunny, beautiful day. I got to be honest with you. I was at the stadium. My 16-year-old and her friend were sitting in the stands on a blue sky day, and Oregon State won the game. She left wanting to go back and see another Oregon State football game, and I think everybody in Reser Stadium probably wanted to. Jonathan Smith joining us. How does the week after a win feel versus a loss?
Oh, yeah, it always feels better. It's really that initial 24, 48 hours right after the game because, you know, the mindset needs to change because you get to the next task at hand. Now we get a bye, so that's been even you enjoyed a little bit more. We practiced a couple times here, and now we're off to do some recruiting the next couple days.
Yeah, what is that like when you go off recruiting? It feels like it's a diversion from the routine that you've now been in for like a month.
It is different. It really is, because we're all about routine and a week and ready for the game. And so now transitioning, we've got two of these buys throughout the year, too. But it's always good to get out, you know, on the road, see some coaches, see some kids play, gather information for multiple classes, too. It's not just kids that are playing their senior year in high school right now. You're looking at younger guys. And so I know our coaches are anxious to get out and find some new players.
I know you can't speak specifically about recruits, but something came up, you know, with the advent of the transfer portal, you're getting, you know, more guys that are going to be available as transfers, and everybody's aware of it. How does you guys being on a quarter system versus a semester, how is that an advantage possibly for you guys?
Yeah, it's an advantage in regards to when, you know, most transfers, when they leave a school, they're going to have to sit for an academic year before they can compete again. And so with us starting school later, they can join us and get a full, complete academic year and not have to miss early games the next season if they go to a semester school. So that's a definite advantage.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're looking for angles all the time, right, as a coach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, in your strategy, and you're always looking for ways to do things better and work to your advantages. And that's definitely one we got.
Jonathan Smith with us, Oregon State football coach. You guys are going to get your students back this next week. After the bye week, you get Stanford. How much attention will you pay to watching Stanford, Oregon, or how much do you need to really have game film where you can see the whole 11-on-11?
Right. You know, we'll do a good amount of planning. We did today and yesterday planning for Stanford, and then you're just looking to confirm what you think when we watch them play on Saturday. And again, it's a little bit, you know, they're playing a different opponent, right? The Ducks run a little bit different offense/defense than we do, and so Stanford's game plan and those guys. But we've got a good amount of the plan in, and then you're looking for confirmation and looking for new insights. So I'll definitely be watching the game.
I like that you got some other guys involved. I mean, Isaiah Hodgins is great in the pass game, but you got Champ Flemings with a big catch. It looked like you're trying to go elsewhere with the ball. How important is that diversification when you're actually calling plays in conference play?
Yeah, it's important, man. I mean, you definitely want to feed your bell cows, as I describe it. I mean, you got some guys, and so, you know, Jamar needs to touch the ball, Hodge needs to touch the ball, but you also want to have some other answers when, you know, defense are going to try to take those guys away. And so you want to have other guys to throw it to. And then really when you can get everyone going involved, you add some confidence in your quarterback, feeling like he wants to go all the way through his progression and not just highlight one guy the whole time. And we're tougher to defend when we got multiple guys that can make plays.
I was looking at numbers for quarterbacks in the Pac-12, and you got Justin Herbert at Oregon has got 105 pass attempts, no interceptions. Jake Luton, your guy, is right behind him, 96 pass attempts, no interceptions. What's gone into that in playing clean games?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of the way Jake's preparing and practicing. You know, I think Brian Linger's doing a good job in the situations he's putting him in, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. You know, he's getting some time. Protection's been solid for him, so he's not having to make some drastic decisions. And look, I don't want Jake going in the game like, oh, okay, I just don't want to throw a pick. I mean, he needs to throw a pick or two this year, but meaning that we're being aggressive with it.
I like that.
So far,
I like that you could say that, though, because you're right. You don't want to go in there going, hey, throw, you know, you're going to have some plays that you know, ball's tipped, or you can't play scared.
No question. I you know, in trying to avoid negatives. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to attack, but being smart with it. And that's where, in the first three games, Jake's been pretty smart with the ball.
I saw Champ Flemings on the field before the game. I don't think if you don't stand by him, you don't get a sense of his size. Now, I know he's really quick, but you put him in a position to succeed in this game, and he went and made a play. How does that feel for you as a coach?
Yeah, it feels like, you know, because again, it starts with the kids. You feel great for him. That guy works hard now, and he competes all the time. And for him to go up and make a play like that, the one to score a touchdown, and he scores later, but the one-on-one contested ball, he goes up and gets it. I think that his confidence will grow from that, and you always feel good for he deserves it. And where I'm getting at is because he works so hard, he's competitive, and he got a chance to make a play, and he made it.
I've stumbled onto a Netflix show called Ozark. Have you seen it?
Okay, I actually have seen a little bit of that. I haven't watched every season, but I started watching, I don't know, maybe a half dozen of them.
Yeah, you get sucked down that rabbit hole pretty quick.
Yeah, it looked pretty good, but I was telling you earlier, I used to watch House of Cards, and I got locked into that thing, and I'm staying up till 3 a.m., and so I've been pretty careful of getting locked into the next one.
You can't do that during season, can you?
Oh, no, you can't. I will say sometimes, you know, you get home from work, it's grind, you got all this, you know, things going on. It's nice to just kind of take a mind dump watching something.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I need some sleep at the same time.
Yeah, and I relate to that because, you know, I'm writing or I'm doing a radio show or I'm doing some TV, and it's a lot of content production. Sometimes I just like to sit back and let somebody else entertain me because I'm done. Like, I can't think anymore.
I can get that. I don't want to think so. I do enjoy when I get into a good book, and I've started to read some different stuff. But because I used to be a lot about the content, history, biographies, or self help books, it seemed like, and now I've kind of enjoyed some fiction just to kind of get my mind away from it and get entertained.
What are you reading?
So I'm reading this Bear Town. It's a fiction. Oh, what's his name? Anyhow, it's about this smaller town that has a big hockey team, and then there's big controversy with it. And I'm not done, but I really enjoyed it.
Frederick Backman.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. It's got a 4.5 out of 5. You agree with that?
Yeah, I'm into it. I do. I've enjoyed it. And again, like I said, I'm not quite done, but I've enjoyed it.
All right, I want to talk play calling because I know at different points of your coaching career, you've called plays. Do you miss the chess session as the head coach? How involved do you get? How much are you and Coach Lindgren talking during the game? You know, let's talk about the play calling.
Yeah, I for one, I miss it a ton because I loved it. The chess match you described, the strategy, the thought leading into the, you know, the week, and then getting into the game, and what do we got to get to next, and so I do miss that part. I will say I think Brian Lindgren does an awesome job. I think our offense has, you know, gotten better and better each game since he's been with us. How it plays out for us, when we've got the ball, I don't think you want to disrupt the play caller much with, like, a lot of talk. And so I don't say a whole lot when we got the ball besides, okay, hey, man, you know, probably second down, we're probably going four downs here. We're going to go 4-on-4 type thing. Then the series will end. And that's when some adjustments are getting made. And if I've got a thought or two on, hey, get back to this, or I think we can run by this guy, or remember we talked about getting to this play, we'll do that when we're playing defense.
I got concerned when I saw Jermar Jefferson with a boot on during the game. Is that preventative stuff?
Yeah. He's in the boot. He wasn't going to play, and just so he's staying off of his stand off his foot while, or taking pressure off his foot while he's walking around.
I got to be honest. I left the stadium. Everybody was in a good mood. It was a 1-15 kickoff. It was perfect. You guys played well. The defense, I thought, played really well, too, against an offense that could be challenging. It was a pretty complete Saturday. Like, I had to feel like that you went into that locker room feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you know, because it was clean. I thought we played well in all phases. You know, because those games can be scary, you know, because the expectation is, okay, you're playing these guys, you're supposed to beat them. And so, but also the style of offense they were running, you know, there's some expectation that comes in the game, and there wasn't a lot of play that you're complaining about after. I felt pretty good.
You're gonna take this program to a bowl game one day. You'll make a bowl game with them. When that happens, when you get to that 6-win mark, whatever season that comes in, what will that mean to you, being a guy that's played in a Fiesta Bowl?
Right. You know, definite satisfaction because, you know, I'm living the hard work that's taking place right now. I think, you know, also just feeling good for everyone involved in this thing. You know, we would start with the players because these players have been working. They haven't seen the success over the last few years they'd like. I'd feel a bunch of gratitude just for those guys and the people that are helping this thing out.
You have a pet?
Used to. Not anymore.
What happened?
So we had a long dog, Sally, that just the transition from, when was it? Oh, it was from Boise to Seattle. We had had her for like 14 years or something. And then ever since she went away, died, we haven't picked it back up.
What kind of dog?
It was a Basset Hound.
You're going to get another one? You got to get another one. Come on.
Yeah, that's the talk in the house right now. My daughter would love getting another dog and... But, you know, with the schedule and traveling, we've got three kids. And
I know. I have two dogs that I ignore most of the time. And I feel bad. It just makes me feel bad. Every time I see them, I feel like a horrible human.
Yeah, I get, yeah. I've been holding out. I don't know if we'll do it again. We'll find out.
All right. Coach, you have a great week recruiting. Will you leave the state, or are you going to stick around the state, or a little both?
No, probably sticking in the state this time, because we got another bite down the road. I might leave, but this...
Whatever. Let me ask you something, because parents ask me this question all the time. You can help with this. So I get a lot of parents who think their kids might be a Division I football player. What do you tell those parents? How do they get their kids noticed? Should they be sending film to you, or do you already know about them if they can play?
No, I think they want to err on being more aggressive with it and sending things or making sure their high school coach is aware of their aspirations, and so that guy can help out with the conversation and make sure... You know, colleges know that he's interested, and then I think he should go to camps in the summer. There's opportunities to go to camps and show off their skills at that school. I think going to the games, you know, the college games in the fall, and because they can get free tickets to that, and it's being in person and getting around the program. Yeah, you can do all that.
I think you're going to get a big crowd for the Stanford game. I think, you know, in addition to the fact that you're going to get all those people who were in the stadium that last Saturday are going to come back, and I think the students being back are going to be huge. I think it's going to push towards 40,000 people there, and you get another opportunity to win them over another week. I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah, there's no question. We could use them. I mean, you know, getting the thing back to the home field advantage, we all know it can be. And again, two-way street, right? With us playing some quality ball and them bringing some energy, we've got a great chance with Stanford, like you say.
All right. Hey, by the way, if I gave you a free ticket to a game, where do you want to sit in the stadium as a football coach? You want an end zone seat so you can see sort of that 11-on-11? You want to be on the 50? Where do you want to be?
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so because I've sat in a couple games, I actually think I'd want to be somewhat high and in the end zone.
Yeah.
So I get that back angle view, and which I've done before. When was it? I think it was in college. No, graduate assistant was back home for the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and I watched SC play. Might have been Penn State. I sat up there, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because you put a football coach, like, low on the 50-yard line, they can't see anything. They're like, no, you need to be up high.
Yeah, totally high. Yep.
All right, Coach, thank you for making time for us. Always enjoy it. Good luck this week recruiting, and I will talk to you next week.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State's football coach. It's good stuff right there. I like that. I like talking to him, and I like talking to Mario Cristobal. We had Leach on. I like talking to Herm Edwards. I don't care if you don't want to hear from Pac-12 coaches. I want to talk to them all. I want Chris Peterson on the show. I want Edwards on this show. I want David Shaw on this show. I'm all about that. I don't necessarily think that I want to talk all football either. I want to know what he's reading. He's reading Beartown. All right. It's a novel. It surprises me. I also think sometimes coaches want you to believe that all they do is show up at 5 a.m. and breathe football and then eat football and they don't break for lunch and they go home and they hardly know their families. And they, I think they impress you by trying to say that they don't know who the president is and all this stuff. I think that was a really candid answer that Smith gave us about coming home and just wanting to veg out. Like, we all relate to that. Like, some people listen to this show because they want to veg out. You're on your commute home. You don't want to be doing the entertaining. You want to leave it to somebody else. Other people, like, I'll listen to a podcast that way, but I've been taking in Ozark that way lately. And because I tweeted not too long ago that I said, outside of The Wire and Breaking Bad, I miss those shows. Sopranos, I miss you. I was looking for something new. And a friend of mine said, you got to look at Ozarks. And I've been watching. Have you watched Ozarks? It's Ozark, but I'm calling it Ozarks.
I have seen the first episode or two.
Ooh, it's good.
It didn't really get me like it got everybody else, but I can give it another try.
Oh, man. Yeah. More than one person who's watched it has told me Adriana would love this.
See, why though? Isn't it about like drug laundering or money laundering?
It's about money laundering. It's a guy who's in trouble with the cartel and he's moved to the Ozarks to launder money.
Yeah.
There's an element of Birmingham in there.
Okay.
That's what people are, you know, it's kind of that, you know, people who never left Birmingham feel to it. Am I wrong?
I'll give it another try. I'm
down. What are you watching if you're not watching Ozarks?
I've been watching some anime. I'm back
no!
on that.
No! What is that?
What? It's just...
it's a waste of time.
No. It's good.
Really?
Yeah.
You're watching anime? What are we in? What is this? Japan? What are we doing here?
It just really got my attention.
Never more disappointed than when my kid one time wanted to go see a cartoon and matinee, and I walked in, it was some damn anime movie.
Was it Totoro?
Never been more disappointed in my life by anything.
No, it can be really movie. Good.
Oh, I'm totally perplexed. I feel like I don't even know you at this moment.
Well,
really?
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
I've always wanted to watch it, but I've had friends start recommending like shows to start with, and so I just started there. And
wow,
yeah,
Peter.
Yeah, I don't get down with anime, but I know where she's. So basically, 99% of it is garbage, but the 1% I hear is really good.
No,
but I'm with you.
I'm trying to figure out. This is like, never mind. All right, leave it here. You got the bald face truth. All right, this has been an eclectic radio show. I started off with a rant about dogs in fast food restaurants. Appreciate those of you out there who supported me in that, especially a couple of you on Twitter. We talked to Ken Go of the Oregonian. Ken Go is so good. He's 40 plus years in the business, reporter at the Oregonian. He's seen it all. Great institutional knowledge. Guy that can talk with great perspective about Oregon and Oregon State and some other things. If you missed that interview, get a podcast of it. Mike Leach was good. I was a little worried about Adriana during the beginning of the Leach interview because he was supposed to be here right at 1. I texted him and he said, hold on. Must have been doing something. Adriana, did you have a hard time getting Mike Leach on the phone? Or I don't know what happened there. It seemed that there was a long delay between Mike Leach coming on and so we worked on that. And we got Leach, but he was 20 minutes of gold. Or 20 minutes of frustration, depending on how much you enjoy hearing a guy go for a walk and just chat at you. I rather enjoy that. Then we had Jonathan Smith on. But in between that, we brought on Jeff Atanella, who's the goalkeeper of the Timbers, who's job shadowing today. Are you job shadowing? Is that what we call this?
I think that's a good name for it.
Just hanging out?
Hanging out.
I don't like job shadowing because the college kids job shadow. You're more than a college kid. You're a 30-year-old man who's written a book or five.
I'm a distinguished author.
Distinguished author. Are any of your books like on lists of bestseller? Like, can you say?
The Cubs one won the award for best first book from a new publishing company. Something
love
like
that.
Yeah, it has a silver medal on it, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
There you go. New York Times, number one bestseller.
I don't know about Jeff New York
Antonella.
Times.
I say it. Charlie's in Vancouver. Charlie has called in. Charlie, what's up?
John, find myself listening to a lot of college football on apps on the radio instead of listening to the cable, bad ESPN, and all that kind of stuff. And the next thing, they just give you that in-home feeling when you're listening to the X-Player.
What are you doing right now? You sound like you're being held hostage. Where are you?
I'm cooking.
Okay.
I'm cooking.
I like that. You're cooking and you're listening to this show.
Hey, that's it, of course. And Better Call Saul, John. You got to love Better Call Saul. It's a off of Breaking Bad.
I feel so bad for that dude, Saul Goodman. Nothing can go right for him. Can't catch a break. It's kind of like Ozark, though. Every time something is okay, something goes sideways. Jeff, thanks for coming by. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for being here. Thanks to Mike Leach and to Jonathan Smith and to Ken Go, the guests on the show. Get a podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.